The minutes of the last AGM, can I get somebody to propose and second that, please? Andrew, thank you. David Hendy, you're seconding it. Thank you. Wasn't there. Anybody there? Thank you, Ollie. Secondly, we've got some apologies. Vic Mulder, Ashley Summerfield, David Curry, Colin Mitchell, and Bronwyn McElveen. I've been asked to try and expand on previous President's reports by making it a bit longer and a bit more detailed, so you'll excuse me if you all might need a seat. I'd like to firstly start by thanking Mal for opening his shop for us tonight. You can get it now. He made the very generous suggestion during summer. I'm not sure that he was serious when he made the suggestion, but we've taken him up on it. And where are you, Mal? Thank you very much. Very good of you. There's a President's report in the AGM that's been distributed, so I won't read it out or bore you to tears with it. There's a couple of points I'd like to make on behalf of the committee, though. The first is this. The fleet sizes and participation has been, in the last year, about tracking where it was the previous year, maybe a little bit improved. What is really positive, though, is that there is a spread over the podium of various skippers and boats. And whilst anecdotally we might all think that one or two boats win every week, in fact the handicap results suggest quite to the contrary. I think in the first 16 races, or the 16 races of the aggregate, there were 22 different boats on the podium, first, second or third. So it's healthy. We think that the handicap system is working and we're going to continue to drive it. What I wanted to say, though, and I see that there are a number of Division 2 sailors here, is that the Laco Cup is in the program again next year. The committee thinks it's an important part of the program, but it's not going to stay there unless there is participation in it. It's designed to try and make it a slightly more relaxed regatta than the Saturday regattas. It's a Sunday morning, there's often a lunch on after it, but Division 2 sailors or Division 1 sailors that can borrow a boat and participate in it, it needs some critical support from all of us. I'd like to acknowledge the success, we would say, the success of the Sailing Committee of the SSCBC over the last 12 months. We have, over the last 20 years, had various race officers and various mix of committees, and really in the last 12 months the standard of racing that we've had has been really the best we've seen. It's been fantastic, both from the race officers' perspective but also race committee. So thank you to Drew, Richard Hurley, your committees, Adam, and everybody involved in running racing. I'd like to acknowledge the hard work over many years of Ray Eads, the measurer, who resigned during the season, late in the season. The task he had to fulfil is a thankless task. Everybody is at everybody, it would seem, about whether boats comply or measure, and he did it, we think, in an outstanding fashion. So Ray, you are here somewhere. I just spoke to you a moment ago. Thank you very much. Going forward, we want to appoint another measurer, and there's been some inroads taken into that. We'll make an announcement before the start of the season proper, but our aim is to try and appoint a completely independent measurer from outside the club, not involved in any of the boats, who comes with a fresh perspective other than an experience as a measurer. The New South Wales Nationals are, of course, in the first two weekends in October. There are about a dozen boats going from Melbourne. There'll probably be a fleet of what, Tim, 20 boats up there altogether?
At least.
Maybe 20 or more boats. Any suggestion that it's not going ahead or that it's hit hurdles is completely false. It's going full steam ahead, and it is really a wonderful opportunity for us to highlight our wonderful boats on a national scale, on Sydney Harbour and in Pittwater. And anybody that is equivocal about it, just make sure you get there with your boat. You'll get the support you need. The costs are being worked out. They're about what they were when we had the meeting at the sailing club. There might be $100 here or there, but generally it's about what it is. There's a contribution from SSCBC and from the Kuta Boat Association to each of the boat owners. The exact amount of that contribution will not be known until we know all of the costs, how many boats are going. Going forward, the focus of the committee, we hope, in the next 12 months and through the Sailing Club is the participation in our racing. It is maybe not so much the front end of the fleet, but to try and make sure that we get general participation, we get boats off moorings, we get boats sailing, whether it's in passage races, regattas, the Laco Cup, the Nationals. Our aim is to increase the participation across the board. We would hope that the racing is focused on trying to achieve that aim. Rather than looking after the front of the fleet or the very back of the fleet, it is to get people out on the water. Finally, I'd like to thank the committee, who I've only worked with for a short period of time, and to acknowledge the hard work of Wayne Parr, who is currently setting up food behind us, the previous president. Wayne has done not only an outstanding job during his term as president of the CBA, but, for example, he's worked last night, all today, and is still going, setting up the food for us to eat tonight. So thank you very much, Wayne. If I could ask somebody to propose my report. Moose, thank you. Wayne Johnson. And second, thank you.
Who seconded?
Chris Malcolm. The next item on the agenda is to receive and consider the accounts of the association that have been prepared by our Treasurer, Bill Davis. They're in the annual report that's been set out. And unless there's... Do you need to speak to them, Bill?
Oh, just briefly, what's in the annual report is a profit and loss, which I've put in some detail. Nothing extraordinary happened in the year. Last year we had a profit of 1443, this year a profit of 217, which is in main due to the fact that I wrote off some of the wine stock, which is unmovable.
Oh, it's at the bar, isn't it?
It's at the bar, so it may be moving from there, but it's probably slow. So, in essence, the reserves remain absolutely intact. They've gone up from because of prepaid subs year to date, the reserves at the moment are the cash situation is quite good, but we have creditors to pay, so year on year our increase is $217, which is the profit. Any questions?
Through you, President.
reflecting the operational profit there, I'd like to offer my sincere and profound apology. I didn't manage to pay myself before March 31, and if I had, we would have been able to report a profit that was some 30% higher than the one I reported here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Can I ask that somebody propose the Treasurer's report? Tim Ryan? Thank you. Second? Bernie O'Hanlon, thank you. Pursuant to clause 28.2, the following committee members retire by rotation and re-nominate for a further term. Myself, Wayne Parr as an ordinary member, Rod Martin as club secretary, Robert Tucker as ordinary member, Colin Mitchell as ordinary member. Do they need to be proposed and seconded, Bill?
No, because nominations don't seem that the place is available, there's no need for a vote.
There's no need for a vote, apparently, because nominations do not exceed the vacancies. The members vote. If we could just get your vote in affirmation of the committee set out in the business. Thank you. The following committee members retain office until the next AGM. Bill Davis as Treasurer, Tim Phillips, ordinary member. Russell Watson, who is also an apology tonight. And Peter Sides as Vice President. The next item on the business is whether it's necessary to appoint an auditor for the financial year, and I think that has been the recommendation of our Treasurer is what, Bill?
We are not required to have an auditor unless members so vote. The bulk of the accounting work for the club and all the cash receipts and payments, etc., are made by the Sailing Club office. So there is a third party handling everything. So I don't believe it's necessary to have an audit. The cost of an audit would be prohibitive, because our income is around 12 grand a year in savings plus $1,000 in interest. To throw in audit fees on top of the expenses we have at the moment would put us in the red. So my recommendation is not to appoint an auditor.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you.
Is that reserve
That is the formal business of the 15th AGM. I'll open the floor to a general discussion, but the food's getting cold, so... Are there any questions? Yes. Marty.
Thank you. I noticed, and I've already spoken to Vince Sides regarding this matter, and you may already have it in hand, that the Volvo race, the Melbourne League, commences on Melbourne 2nd of January, out through the heads and on to Hong Kong. And I would strongly suggest that the Kubo Club assemble in front of the Kubo Club along the channel to salute them, the old and the new brigade.
That's a very good suggestion. And Scott Llewellyn, the club captain, is here, and we'll take that on board. Is that the... What day of the week is the 2nd of February? Any other questions? Yes, Moose.
Is the Kubo Association in position to have any confirmation of the
the host club for the Nationals, it is proposed that it is Avalon Sailing Club on Pittwater. The notice of race has been finalised, so it will be any day. Yeah, Tim, Brian. Yes, well, that's a very valid point. The website has got a little bit left behind in the rush, and we hope to bring it up to date, but we would encourage anybody who's got any further detail about the heritage of their boat to contact us so that it can be put onto the website. Bernie? Firstly, sail windows. We've had two recent committee meetings to discuss sail windows, and it is it's an understandably controversial issue. The boats have sailed on Port Phillip for 100 years without them, and I think all of us would agree that to put sail windows in the main would detract from the heritage and the beauty of the boats. That's the first point. The second point is, I think we've probably got to ask ourselves, in putting sail windows in, why would we be doing it? You still need a lookout. There's a risk it would lead to a false sense of security by skippers and other people on board. So that's on one side of the ledger. The other side of the ledger, you know, there are more boats sailing. The issues in New South Wales, particularly at Royal Prince Alfred, may have been particular to that club. Mixed fleet racing over slightly smaller courses and two unfortunate accidents. Now, certainly the first of those accidents, it could not be said that a sail window would have made any difference to the accident. The people on board the Kuta boat were yelling at the keelboat. It was not an issue of visibility. So there are competing arguments. Yes, safety is an important factor, but I just wonder whether the boats are really going to be any safer with sail windows or not. And it's a balance between the heritage of the beautiful boats and putting sail windows in. Thirdly, it's a little unclear where you'd put the sail window and the size of it. It would vary from boat to boat depending upon mast position, boom height. So there's some of the issues. We have discussed it at length and quite vigorously, and in New South Wales there is unlikely to be an inquest into the unfortunate death of the man on Pittwater in February 2016. If there is an inquest, it's my understanding it's unlikely that there'll be any recommendations by the coroner that Kuta boats put sail windows in, because in New South Wales, at Royal Prince Alfred, the boats sailing there have already done it. So if we have a coroner who delivers some findings saying Kuta boats should have windows, well, we will of course take that on board. But There are competing arguments. I'm sure there's a lot of people with different views about it in this club. It's not a simple issue. It's not a, we're just going to amend the rules and say put a window in.
James, just make the point that it's not only cruiser boats, it would have to then flow through to all boats.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of boats that have windows and there are lots of boats that don't. I mean, the critical thing that really needs to be reinforced is that, as I think we know, you've got to have a reliable lookout when you're racing in fleets. And that's just the... Richard? You know, and there is no substitute for it. And putting a window in the sail won't mean that you're less reliant than you are now. And, of course, in heavy weather, you're going to be... The skipper is presumably going to be staring at the water unless the window goes, what, halfway up the main, three-quarters of the way up the main. It's not giving you visibility. It's got nothing to do with your jib. So, yes, Nick? Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've got boats with cabins. You know, well, there are boats with windows. Yeah, there are boats with windows sailing in Royal Prince Alfred because it's the only way they can sail their boat there, according to Royal Prince Alfred. So. Well, firstly, in relation to the nationals in New South Wales, there is an exemption for those boats in relation to windows. We have been told by the New South Wales Cruiser Boat Association that their members will otherwise comply. So that's where we're at. So there will be windows. If we're holding a nationals down here, I imagine we would require them to remove their windows. Or black them out. Well, We'll deal with that when it happens, but we've just had an open discussion about the possible advantages or maybe disadvantages of sail windows. And if there's an accident, I suppose we look at the cause of the accident, whether there was a lookout, whether there wasn't, whether sail windows would have made any difference. But look, in a perfect world, Bernie, you know, there are, I suppose, lots of safety issues that could be implemented, but at the end of the day, we're sailing a heritage boat that doesn't have them. And, you know, we've sailed now these boats for 20, 30 years in fleets, and, you know, it's the obligation of the skipper to ensure from everything from a correct and safe sail plan to the safety of their crew. And it's not, you know, our role as the CBA is to ensure the heritage of the boats and to a certain extent ensure that they're safe to sail. But ultimately, nothing will obviate the responsibility of the skipper of a boat. So if you don't want to have a lookout and you have an accident, don't come saying we need sail windows. That's the reality. Yes, that's correct on one level, Peter. You would have had somebody down below to release the jib, assuming that they'd completed it off in an appropriately safe manner. If they hadn't, arguably a quick release is a safe. But yes, that's right. I mean, you know, you'd
still,
have.
You still need a look at,
and maybe the fisherman did have a buoy down there on the thwart. But well, that's something that the skipper needs to take greater control of.
I think if you took your argument to the logical conclusion, they'd probably have boats like this, you know, carbon fibre or fibreglass boats too. And I reckon I reckon your argument's bullshit, mate.
A lot of the work that's been done on the boats, the more modern things, are hopefully to allow the boats to be easier to sail and probably safer. Okay. The food's getting cold. Wayne's just told us the food's getting cold. Mal, where's Mal? See,
there he is.
Well, come up here.
If you're not paid up, no food.
Is this for Mal?
Yeah, it's him, sir.
Mal, thank you very much for hosting the 15th
Thank you, Mal.